The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Preparing the Ruins, the 2015 Annual Conference Recordings, copyright 2015. If you have purchased this recording, you may make additional copies for use by your school. You may not sell copies of the recording, nor post it on the Internet. Learn more about classical Christian education and ACCS at www.accsedu.org.
Let's pray first and we'll get started. Domina, qui est solus verus et altissimus magister, sic iuba nos, qui discipulis sumus, ut te glorificamur, glorificamus, et secret servus tuus Christus, simus servi servorum tuorum. Hoc oro in nomine Filii tui. Amen. All right, so we'll start here with a colloquium. This is something that I saw once and enjoyed so much that I had to try and tone it down to the level of my students so that they also would be able to enjoy playing with Latin and not merely looking at and mentally apprehending or analyzing it. We call it a colloquium. Sometimes in the past we called it a tractatio, which means an extended treatment of a subject. It's where we get a tract, and it means kind of an essay, because that's what we really do. After we've already studied a bit and we've covered a topic or a text, it's time to discuss it. We can discuss it in English. That's fine. Sometimes you can go deeper. But a fair amount of the material can be covered and understood and discussed in Latin, and it's more fun. The students feel more accomplished, and they also gain a very immediate and active acquisition of the language. It has its drawbacks. So, let's look here. I don't think my wireless is working, but we should... No. All right. I'm glued to the podium for now. Or not. All right, so here's our purpose. This is my purpose in doing this kind of exercise. I want them to practice the Latin vocabulary that they know, and I want them to practice the grammar that they know, not just in a written exercise, but in something a little bit more fluid, a little bit more agile. I do want them to assimilate new Latin vocabulary and grammar, and I take great pains to teach them the grammar in a very careful and analytical manner in our ordinary class times. But it's okay to encounter something that's over your head from time to time, and this gives me a chance to, in a controlled environment, introduce something that they may never have seen before, or they will sometimes happen upon it as they try to express themselves, and they don't have the words for it. So I give them tools to ask me, tools for me to help lead them through that. I want fluency. Reading is great, but we don't learn to read solely because we're presented with books and letters, but also because we've heard people speaking, because we've listened, because we've spoken ourselves. I want my students to have a little bit of that same experience in Latin that they had in learning their English language, even though it's painful and fraught with peril. I want them to listen in Latin as we converse as a class. I want them to discuss. I want them to think in Latin and speak in Latin, and really to have fun. Every student wants to feel confident. That in itself is fun. And feeling like you can converse in a second language is an incredible feeling for most of those, mostly middle school students that I've been teaching this past year, although I've done this with older students as well. Here's the preparation that you have to put into it, or at least what I put into it. And I have named all my students in Latin. I have these cards. We call them the cards of death, the cartulae mortiferae, death feeling cards. And we use those to just ensure that if it gets a little bit slow, I'm not going to call on the same three people for the whole class period, which is really dull for everyone and really neglectful as a teaching practice. I also like to provide them with a picture an engaging image, and it usually relates to the text in some way. Here's the death of Dido. And off in the distance are the Trojan ships leaving Carthage. Preferably, when it comes to the image, I want it to reflect the text, but not necessarily be a strict interpretation of the same. So, for instance, we might read about Dido and Aeneas falling in love in our text, but then I might present them with this picture. And they have no idea what's going on, and they'll have to ask. We'll have to talk. They may be able to infer from what they see in the picture, and they'll begin to make connections. It's really quite fun. Or I might give them an alternate version of a myth, an alternate interpretation of a myth. I might, for instance, present them with Odysseus blinding the Cyclops when we've been reading about Aeneas seeing Polyphemus on the shores of Sicily. I also, of course, I forgot to mention the text is really important. You have to have your text. I just use what's in the reader for my Latin curricula. And you can do this with any Latin it's kind of extended narrative, any kind of lengthy prose selection. It can be in a poetry selection as well with your advanced students. You just want to have some text for them to consider. You want the image to reinforce and expand upon it. You need to provide them with vocabulary for things that may be unfamiliar. That's only fair. Because you'll see why in a minute, I didn't have a vocabulary list for you, but I've got this, so if we need to put anything useful up here, we'll put it right here on the whiteboard so everyone can use it, because I'm going to make you do this if you'll play along. And all these things work together in order to help the students. Also, this thing right here, we have our houses. We have our students divided into six different houses, house associations, named for the 6 days of creation. So you can see next to each person's name, I have their house. We've got Terai, Regis, Chaeli, Avium. We went with medieval Latin for the house names, in case you're wondering. Although we teach classical Latin, it's a medieval thing. Houses, and I keep track of their points. I just put a tick mark there. You can use whatever you've got. I'm pretty low tech, actually. But you can just, I put a tick mark down for every time I get a complete Latin sentence from them. And I actually give points to their house for those. So I think the leading house this year had over 1,000 points for the year in spoken Latin. And it's got to be a complete sentence. Kept your fragments, no matter how perfect the grammar is. I want a complete sentence. what else can I tell you about this? You don't want students hunting through dictionaries. It's antithetical to this exercise. Dictionaries are for careful and close preparation of the text. They're for preparation. They're not for active work in a language. Even in English, we might use a dictionary to look up something unfamiliar before or after, but not in the middle of a conversation. Wait, let me hunt through my dictionary. I don't want my students doing that. I really want them to have a chance to infer a little bit. This is a little bit of an immersion experience, and I'm not a big fan of immersion style for teaching Latin, but I want them to have a little of it. I think you really can't get anywhere in the grammar if you stick with a full immersion style program or curriculum. You have to supplement it in some way. But I have the opposite problem with my curricula and in my school, that we're heavily grammar and analytical based. Well, let's have some fun with it at low cost to the students. It's not going to destroy their grade one way or another. We also want to have, you want to have some kind of accountability. That's what that my little scorecard there is for. You want to call on every student, even those who don't want to volunteer. And you want to try and, if the students are not quick to ask questions or to make comments, you want to call on them. Because they need the practice, especially the students who don't feel confident enough to speak. And I've found that that allows me to fit the question to each student's skill and experience. So I may have a very gifted student, and we blab at one another in Latin all the time. Another student who's not so solid, well, I can phrase a question that's very simple that they can get hold of. And I have some students, I've noticed with introverts, they don't want to think out loud. This is troubling to them to have to express something that's not fully thought out for them. So my introverted students often will have a small whiteboard or a piece of paper. They'll actually carefully write out their question before they'll speak it to me. And that's okay. I want them to participate if that's the level they're comfortable at. Better a little than none. So other students I have to hold back because they would dominate the conversation. So there's your preparation. You need text, you need image, you need vocab, you do need some kind of accountability. And the common text, oh look, I've already made all this. There you go. The common text, read, prepared, and translated in advance. I very seldom will throw them an unfamiliar text for our colloquia. And then the picture, again, let me stress, is related to the text, but not a copy, either in interpretation or in meaning. That would be dull. It would be redundant. It would not illumine anything about the language or the story. And then pertinent vocabulary is important. Here's the method. We've really got three steps. We've got lectio. We're going to read the text in Latin, and it's a corresponding action here with the image is that we're going to take some time to look at the image, just observe what's there. Then the enaratio, which is, of course, misspelled in your notes, which is going to be a paraphrase of the text in Latin. I ask my students to paraphrase. I don't want them to stand up and repeat what's on the page, but I might ask, Quid dicis de prima paragrafo? What do you say about the first paragraph? Or, enera primam sententiam pronobis quaeso. And they will attempt to paraphrase in their own words what's happening. This is checking comprehension, not only of the text, but also of the Latin. Same with the picture at the eneratio stage. We're really just saying what we see. It's very basic. Some students will be content to say something like, I see a man with a hat. And if that gets them started, so much the better. I'm not looking for great masters of classical scholarship in the junior high school years. Then the quaestio, or the questions. I'm going to ask them lots of pictures about the text. There are lots of questions about the picture and the text. I'm going to ask it in Latin. And I'm going to require them to answer it in Latin. But what I really hope for is that my students will begin to ask me and one another questions about the text and the picture, and that they will begin to answer for themselves. So the best sessions that we had doing this are when they get really excited and they'll begin arguing with one another. And I'm relegated to the position of being a moderator, but I'm so much happier in that position than lecturing. When it comes to assessment, this is, of course, where you have a lot of questions. How do you assess this? Well, when you're speaking, it's all on the fly. It's no good trying to assess accuracy. It all moves too fast, and you'd always be, wait, let me write this down, before you could go on to the next question. So my solution is that I give 10 points towards the upcoming unit test for participation. That is, if they will participate, if they'll play the game, I'm going to give them 10 whole points, which you can adjust this however you want. If you like it, you can get rid of it, whatever. A student's a participant as soon as they actively contribute. A question, a comment, observation, or an answer in Latin, and that's what I want. They get on the board, they have 10 points. I'll give them one bonus point per contribution, so for every complete Latin sentence. That's why I'm making little hash marks to see how many times each student's spoken. And I have sometimes also given points in a daily or a kind of classwork grade. It just depends on what you want to do, especially if it takes two periods over several days or something. And my rule of thumb is there at the bottom. I want to reward the attempt. I will correct them, but I'm going to do it with patience and charm. I'm not going to expect them to speak in perfect Latin. I can't do it myself. I'm sure you'll get to hear some mistake of my own today. But I want the mistakes to be corrected. But I don't want them to be afraid of making mistakes. If they're afraid of making mistakes, it's likely that they'll never attempt at all. And that's no good. So, onward. Some resources. So this is a kind of mixed grab bag here, but I first saw this with Dr. Terrence Kunberg from the University of Kentucky and his colleague, actually head of the department, I think, Dr. Elena Minkova at an ACL, American Classical League Institute. And then I also participated in one of these spoken Latin seminars at the University of Kentucky, the Conventiculum Lexingtoniense. And those were really exhilarating and fun experiences. And I thought, if I can distill some of this for my students, I'd like to do it. At the Conventiculum, there's no English spoken. And for 8 days, you sign an agreement that you won't speak in any other languages with the participants. It's amazing. The first day really hurts. It really hurts. But after that, you would be amazed at how easy it is to speak in Latin and to speak about a wide variety of things, because there is so much Latin in English that working it the other way from your English mind into spoken Latin is not as hard as you would think. And having others along to sort of buoy you up is really quite wonderful. I wanted my students to have that too. We can't speak in Latin all the time. For instance, when I'm presenting new grammar, this is not the time to explain it in good Ciceronian Latin. However, for all kinds of routine tasks and things in the classroom, I refuse to use English, and I refuse to let them use English. And I also want them to have this one immersion experience every couple weeks, week or 2 weeks in our colloquium. Other things that have been helpful to me were Trautmann's Dictionary of Conversational Latin. Bolshazi Cardici publishes that. It has some things you can quibble with. He sometimes prefers Neo-Latin over good Ciceronian Latin. And other things that may help you if you're interested in doing this kind of thing and you think, well, I can't speak in Latin. I understand it perfectly well, but I've never had any experience speaking it. Well, neither had I in college. It's something I came to later, really trying to help my students. And things that I really enjoyed and have helped me is to read things in Latin and not just classical things. So it's not a bad idea once in a while to dip your toe in Neo-Latin. Mark Walker's translation of The Hobbit is really quite challenging. And the famous New York Times bestseller, Winnie Ilepu, is not for students. I'm telling you, it's an intellectual joke. The man who wrote it was attempting to find the very best ways of saying all of A.A. Milne's sentences in as close to Golden Age Latin as he could manage. And if there was a possible substitute in Cicero's work that comes close enough, why, he'd prefer that over a direct translation. It's really difficult, but quite funny. Not for starters, though. Rowling's Harry Potter, two of the books have been translated into Latin, and they're a really easy read. You can see the English through them. I won't say it's good Latin necessarily, but it's good enough, and it helps with fluency. If you want to get to the real classics, but you're not sure of your ability, the Loeb classical editions are not a bad idea. They have Latin and English on facing pages. I'm sure many of you are familiar with them. But they can be a useful exercise if you will train yourself to study the Latin and only look at the English if and when you've tried all other means. And then it can shed a little light. Orberg's textbook, Lingua Latina per se illustrata, is quite enjoyable. And you can read it as a little novel for the fun of it. And it will help you. It'll give you many, many clues of ways in which you can implement spoken Latin and really keep the conversation going, even when you don't necessarily have this as your first language. And what's really especially helpful to me is at the bottom there is a little app, Biblium, which is a new Vulgate version. I mean, who knew? But in 2000, they published a new Vulgate version. Anyway, the reason I like it is that it actually has some punctuation, which is not normal with editions of the Vulgate. And it's really quite a nice, it's got a nice interface. And so a lot of times when I'm reading devotionally, I'll be reading in my Vulgate. And that's useful not only for keeping me in Latin, although it's not classical Latin, to be fair. But it's also useful because reading the scriptures in another language is not the same as reading it in your own. There are things that will jump out at you that you did not notice before, because each language emphasizes different things. Each translator emphasizes different things. You're not going to discover any new doctrines or controversies, really. But it's an entirely different perspective, and it reminds me of when my oldest son was about 3. And if I was too busy to pay him attention, he would sometimes walk right up to me, and he would grab my chin, and he would turn it to look at him or at whatever he wanted me to see. And when I read in Latin, it's that much of a difference. Sometimes I have the sense that the author is grabbing my chin and he's going to direct my attention at something I had not noticed before. But that's another talk for another time. It's very interesting, some of the things that I, some of the impressions I've received in reading in a different language. And if you've got some Latin and you know the Lord, well, you ought to be reading his word in English and in Latin. Why not? He invented Latin. That was a language in which he also communicated to his people, and a language in which they communicated to him. I don't see any reason not to. Doesn't matter that it's technically a dead language. All right. What else can I tell you? Oh, yes. I forgot one useful, some useful things for you. But you know what? I think we can actually work them out in the exercise. The useful things that I forgot to mention were safety nets. So a lot of times my students will be in this exercise and they won't know how to say something, or they won't understand what I just said. And a couple of useful phrases are this one, of course. I get a lot of this. Quid significat? What's it mean? Not the only way to ask the question. But if my students hear something that they don't understand at any time in class, they're liable to ask this. And I don't mind telling them. And I'll respond in as much Latin as I'm able to while, you know, still explaining it to them. Another useful check is this. This is for me. Intelligeresne. Do y'all understand? I have to tell them at the beginning of the year, of course, that if you say, non intelligo, it doesn't mean I'm stupid. That's not the meaning. That's not the force of it in Latin. It just means I don't understand. And so I train them to say, non intelligo. If they don't understand, I train them to ask, quid significat velum, or something. If they hear a word they don't know what it is, they're going to ask me that way. And I frequently will be checking, intelligeresne, intelligeresne quod dicam. And so on. So those are useful safety nets. You'll find some of those on the little bookmark thingy that I gave you. And I'd like to draw your attention to that specifically before we attempt this. Oh, are they all used up? Did everyone get one? You ran out of them. I can't believe it. I have more, but they're up in my hotel room. Share with your neighbor if you can. I'm just going to take a glance at someone's, if someone's got one. Yeah. So what I want to draw your attention to, first, on the one side you'll see mandata and instrumenta. This is really more to facilitate our everyday classroom experience, because I don't want to talk to them in English about anything that happens more than three times in a year. And so that there it is in Latin, a lot of useful terms. We're not going to look at that. But on the other side is rogata, so questions. And here you have all kinds of helpful tips for asking questions and for understanding questions I might ask in our colloquium about the image or about the text. I'd like you to make use of those for our exercise. Yes, ma'am. Well, I teach, she's asked which grade level am I using this at. I have for the past few years taught 6th through 8th grade, but I'm the head of the Latin department and I taught everything. I taught from 3rd grade all the way up to 12th grade, and I'm a bit of a madman. I love Latin. I'm so glad that God's called me to this. Even if I'm not the best at it, I just can't imagine. You couldn't pay me enough to take a different job. And I make my students use as much Latin as they possibly can at whatever level I teach them. So when I taught 3rd grade, I also made them use a lot of Latin. Not this much, because I hadn't learned all this. But I think I could train them to do a lot of this quite easily, even at a low level, at least functioning in the classroom. This current year has been 6th through 8th grade. And of course, what you can expect from each grade level differs. Really, it depends a lot on the textbook and what grammar they've encountered. But you can still do a lot. Did you have another question? Oh, do we have to talk about curricula? Well, everybody uses different curricula, and they all have different strengths and weaknesses. Let me draw your attention to, before I answer that question, or by way of answering it, to the outline at the beginning, you see there's three separate passages. I didn't know what I was going to get. I didn't know if anybody would come to this session, so I'm kind of glad that you're here. I hope you're as glad to be, have this inflicted on you as I am to be honest. But I didn't know what I was going to get, so I chose a kind of basic passage, a kind of intermediate passage, and then I just went and grabbed something straight out of Virgil's Aeneid. So that we have something to talk about. I didn't know what you preferred, because I didn't know what range of expertise I was going to get. And so we get to choose whether we're going to go with basic, intermediate, or advanced. The exercise will work fine at any level, I suppose. But you can see that the first two selections are chosen from Jenny's first year Latin. It's a book that's out of print. And we used it for many years. We've, in fact, only recently given it up under duress, because it's getting harder and harder to find copies. It has problems, like every curriculum. But the one strength of it is that they read a sort of Chick-fil-A version of the Aeneid, the abridged version, before they encounter it in English in ninth grade. So when they come to ninth grade English, they don't say, what's this stupid poem? And who are all these people? And why do they have two and three different names? They, in fact, are already familiar with all of the characters and the events. And the themes have all been introduced in class. And so I'm kind of grieving a little bit that we're not going to use it anymore, because that was a great strength. So that's what my students were using. Now we're switching to Lingua Latina, which is another whole kettle of fish, and it has its strengths and weaknesses as well. One of its weaknesses is that it dwells entirely on Roman private life. So we don't get any lovely and challenging historical examples of stout, noble Romanness. We get no introduction to the literature. It's at the very end, and then it's a little bit of so sloppy love poetry. Yes, the second volume is better, but I don't anticipate getting through both of them with my in 3 years with my 6th through 8th graders. I'm not sure that I can do it. We require it, so I'm not getting the cream of the crop. I get everybody. So if you know a better way to help me through both books in 3 years, I'm all ears. You come and talk to me afterwards. So we get to choose which of those passages we want to have a colloquium on. Here's our first image. This goes with the first passage by Federico Barocci. Here's a rather gruesome one for the second passage about the end of the Aeneid, so the beginning and end of the Aeneid. And here's one for the passage chosen straight from Virgil. Do we have, does anyone have an opinion which one we want to go with here? Don't worry, I won't think you, I won't think ill of you. Okay, well, that's fine. Let's do the easy one. The more the merrier. So I don't want to shut people out, okay? I'm not trying to overwhelm you with greatness. I really want to make you try this out. And so much. So this is a beautiful painting, by the way. Okay, so we've got a few rules before we do this. The first is that we have to be finished in time. Does anyone know what time it is? Quarter till. Okay. Goodness. That's probably just about enough time. I hope you haven't got any questions. And a couple of rules. The one is I don't want you to speak in English. Okay, you don't understand how to say something. I want you to ask me. Another way, for instance, is to say, "Quomodo dicitur Latine." So this is a way of asking, "How do you say that in Latin?" So I might say, "Quomodo dicitur Latine." I've got a question. And I can say, Latine dicimus rogatum habeo, something like this. Okay. So this is how we get around that. Feel free to say, non intelligo, raise your hand. Quid significat? Also feel free to cobble together from your knowledge of Latin and from the text any observations you want to make about this picture. And let's run through this. I don't mind if you want to speak to one another too. If one of you says something and another person would like to comment on that or ask a question about that, I'll just get out of the way, okay? So let's start by looking at our text on page 132 in your notes. We don't have the benefit that my students have of having seen it before, but let's go ahead and take a look at it. And one thing I make them do is to read it aloud. It seems really dull, but you process better what you see and hear. God did not design you to receive all of your information visually. And in fact, you remember very little visual information. So let's tackle it. Graphi bellum parabant contra Troyam et ad asiam navigabant. Diu pugnabant, sed oculum non occupabant. Denique, post multos annos, marum equum ligneum aedificabant. Equum donum Dei minervae vocabant. Deinde, a nostro apodo navigabant quasi ad Graeciam. Sed profecto, nugia post insulam tenedum celabant. Equus multos graecos in utero celabat, itaque ubi somnus oculos nostros caecabat, graeci ex equi lignei utero evolabant, per oppidum et late longeque Troianos ad truncabant. Sic Troianos superabant graeci. Discipuli, habetis ne rogata de vocabulis. Habetis ne rogata de vocabulis. Quod significat? You got questions about any words, vocabulary. Rogata de vocabulis in paragrafo. Navis est navigium. Navigium e neutrum secundae declinationis. Significat navis. Alia rogata? Other questions? Alia rogata? Intelligitus ne fabulam de Troia. Intelligitus ne fabulam de Troia, de Graeci et Troiani, qui pugnabans. Aptine. Rogata? Alia rogata. No? Quis potest enerare primam sententiam? Enerare significat to paraphrase, to summarize in your own words. Quis potest enerare primam sententiam? Look at city. With Helenam Capiant. Yeah. Hic reo dixit Graeci venerunt ad Asiam, bellum gerere contra Troiam et Helenam Capiant. Hac mihi placet, est bonum enaratio, or bona enaratio. Alia rogata aut enerationis, quis potest enerare secundam sententiam? Secundam sententiam est simplex. It's too simple. Never mind. Denique post multas annos magnum equum ligneum aedificabant, equum donum Dei minervae vocabant. Quis potest enerare aut explicare as sententias? Quis potest enerare as explicare as sententias? Who can explain or summarize these? Don't worry, you can make mistakes just like my students. That's okay. Bene habes. Illa femina, bene dicit, graeci, equum, fecerunt, ex ligno, et donum Dei minervae vocabant, est simplex. This is pretty simple. And that's okay. We want it to be that way for our students. They feel really impressed. And that's okay. Proximo. Deinde, a nostro opero navigabans quasi ad Graeciam, sed profecto navigia post insulam tenedum celabant. Quid hoc significat? Quis potest explicare aut enerare? Quid hoc significat? Tenedos. Quis intelligit tenedos? Quid est tenedos? To intelligus? Insula est tenedus. Tenedus, okay. Asia, Troia, hic est Troia. Hic est Asia, okay, aqua. Tenedos est insula. Intelligimus ne insula? Quis intelligat insula? Ascendere manum, si intelligas insula. Bene. Insula, anglicae significat island. Tenedos est insula parva. Et graeci navigabant ab Asia, quasi ad graecium, graecium est hic, sed pro facto, post tenedum navigia, well, navis celabant. Celabant significat occultare. Exemplographia, okay, navis. Et nunc navis est post insulam celata, occulta. Non potest videre. Rogata? Aria rogata? Profecto? Profecto est optimum verbum. Profecto literaliter significat pro facto, for effect. Pro facto significat pro facto, for effect, in reality. Est adverbium, pro facto. Aria rogata? Quis habet rogata? Quis potest explicare ultimas sententias, quod significat the last sentences? Quis potest explicare aut enarare breviter ultimas sententias? Equus multos graecos, etc. Quid hoc significat? Nemo potest? Quid est utero? Quid hoc significat? Equus in utero multos graecos celabat. Quid est utero? Quis intelligat hoc verbum? Ubi? Tu habes? Magna voce quaeso. Venter stomacus, verbum graecum, stomacus, uterus, uterus, okay? Equus, I guess equus, revera, really, revera, okay, equus. I guess equus. Et revera. Et in utero sunt graeci. Feroces graeci. Ergo, equus ligneus. Equus Troianus, non? Benedixit somnus oculos nostros caecabat. Quis intelligat caeco caecare? Hey, non necet tibi. Si facere. Oh, machina. Oh, machina. Oh, mala machina. Unam not necesse mihi codam imponere, quia machina mea est mortua. Technologia. Unam is enough. Quis potest explicare quod significat somnus nostros oculos caecabat? Quid est caecabat? Non posse videre. Caeco caecare significat oculos, oculos tegere, well, oculos effodere. Caecus significat non videt, non spectat, non potest spectare, non potest videre. Somnus, quis est somnus? Quis est somnus? Troiani somniunt, Troiani dormiunt, sed quis, non quid, quis est somnus? Deus est. Recte dices. Somnus est Deus. Haec est Deus somnium. Well, stop this. Somnus Troianus caecabat. Ergo Troiani non intelligent, or non intelligens, graeci ex ligno equo descendere. Aria rogata? Non quolo discipuli, quolo videre ficturam, si possumus. Quis potest intellegere quod significat graeci ex equi ligne utero evo labant per opidum et late longe quis reanus abtrum cabant? Quis potest enerare? Who can summarize this? And as I remind my students, and I'm allowed to do this in English, unlike them, this doesn't have to be real complicated or deep. We're at a very basic level in understanding this, most of the time my students are. And I'm happy if they'll just try something. And if it's wrong, I'll help them. That's what I tell them. You know, they say, I don't know how to say. And I say, well, try. I can't help you until I know what's in your head. Put that in your eye. Benedictus, gracias. Illedixit graeci descendere, well, graeci descenderunt ex equo ligno, then vincunt, Troianos vincunt. Gracias. Opugnaverunt et vicerunt. Tu dices Latina ecclesiastica, no? Medii valiter. Hey! Ecclesiastical Latin sounds prettier, okay? Nobody's going to think Julius Caesar is such a great guy if they believe that his three-word summary of the Battle of Zala was "Weni weedy weeky." When I teach my students that, I say to them, what does this dictum say? And they say, weeny, weedy, weeky. And I say, great, now I've got to teach you another pronunciation. Because if you say that outside of a small gathering of people who are really into classics, they have no idea what you're talking about, and they're going to laugh at you. You need to know that most of the world says this, veni, vidi, vici, and it sounds great. So learn it that way, and know what it means, and keep your classical pronunciation snobbery to yourself. Now, I teach them classical pronunciation, but you have to, I wonder if it will let me do this. There's no power over here. Wait, there may be. I teach them classical pronunciation because I think there's a lot of value in it. But it's not the only Latin, and classical Latin isn't the only Latin, and it's good for them to know about this other stuff. Unless they're going to become consummate scholars in the classical period, we don't need to be too vindictive about pushing our own perspective on pronunciation or what's considered good literature. We're teaching them Latin because we believe it has value outside of the Latin class, right? If my teaching in Latin is only valuable to make them into classics majors in college and get a PhD in classics, then I should stop. It's worthless, and this whole classical education thing would be a crock. and we just need to know that. So, you know, I tell them my preferences, and I say you need to learn classical pronunciation, but the rest of it's out there too. And it has its own beauty and its own utility, and you shouldn't be afraid of it. So, I can follow ecclesiastical Latin fairly well, but I can't speak it. Okay. I think we're going to get our picture back. And what I'd like to limit our attention to now, we've got just a few minutes. Let's say 5 minutes. Let's just do 5 more minutes, okay? I'd like to limit us to observing and discussing the picture. text is fine, but it's kind of boring. And I really want to, sometimes you have a really engaging text, and sometimes you have a student who's really engaged in it, and they ask really hard questions that they don't have the Latin for, and you have to kind of help them along, and it's fun. But pictures, and everybody can see a picture and discuss it. So, here we go. I'll try and keep up with words here, things like colors and things if you need them. And while we're waiting for this to come up, I want to remind you that I would be glad to hear what you guys are doing in your classes. If you want to come and ask me, share ideas, I don't mind at all. You can contact me with the email that's at the top of the notes page, and I'd be glad to answer any questions that you've got. And I really have done a lot of what I've done, not because I'm really great at this. I'm not. Sorry about that later, but... but because I'm desperate for my students to have something engaging. So I tried to create a lot of materials and things to help engage them in a way that is at least as much fun as a math class. Crying out loud. I don't know if you've looked around, but the state of instructional materials for Latin is pretty poor. See, I mean, other than textbooks, you got textbooks, lots of textbooks. But I mean, where can you get a good looking poster that's big enough to read across the room? So, anyway, I'm open to lots of ideas, and I want this to be helpful to you. Let's go ahead and give this a try. We've got a beautiful painting here. Quid videtis? Quid videtis? What do you see? Optime. Eca aeneas. Aeneas is vir. Qui antiquum vir fert, well, portat, in unero. Aeneas est vir qui ambulat et portat, pater Aeneae anchises est in numero Aeneae. Gratias. Aria rogata, quid videtis? Quod nomen est uxori? Quid? Creusa, recte dicis, creusa. Okay, Aeneas et pater et uxor, creusa. Quis est parvulus puer? Filius est iulus, well, Ascanius. Duo nomina habet. Ascanius. Iulus. Quid videtis? Quid videtis? Oh, optime. Optime vides. Okay. Hic. In manu, okay, manus. In manu anchisai sunt lares et penates, idola, quod anglicae significat idols. Idola Romanorum in manu. Scipuli cur Aeneas patrem portat? Cur patrem portat? Oppidum uret, quod significat oppidum ardet, oppidum flammis igneque consumatur, et secunda. Causa. Prima causa est operum uret. Secunda causa? Pater est vir antiquus et pater, mea culpa, pater anchises, mea culpa, anchises est claudus. Quis intelligit claudus? Hoc adjectivum. Quid est claudus? Quid intelligis? Qui ambulare, qui non bene, ambulare potest. Claudus significat lame. Anchises claudus est, ergo Aeneas eum potas. Quid aulus urbidemus? Okay. In angulo. Scalae sunt. Scalae, quod significat stairs, gravis regatum? Oh, quid significat shield? Haec est shield, well, scutum. Haec scutum est in forma lunae. Est scutum lunatum. Lunatum, in forma lunae. Quid aliter redeemed? I may ask. Aeneas Armageras, Galleam in capite, fortasse loricam, in pectus, fortasse gladium habet, et scutum, fortasse intergo, nescio. Nescio qui non vide, in pictura, in hac pictura. Discipuli, Aeneas, et familia Aeneae. Ambulant ex Troia, quia Troia uret, well, ardet. Cur ex Troia ambulant? Quis potest respondere? Cur significat? Cur ex optido ambulant? Graeci quid? Graeci victore sunt, et multi Troiani mortui sunt. Atque Hector, well, umbra Hectoris, monet Aeneas, fuge. Hecti, graeci ad sunt. Bene, discipuli, Aeneas ex Troia ambulabit. Ambulabit me creusa? Non ambulabit. Cur non ambulabit? Cur non ex opido ambulabit? Quis intelligit? Aeneas creusam non videt. Creusa Aeneam non videt. Ut fugiunt, or ut fugunt, creusa et Aeneas, creusa est cum Aenea, et cum Anchisa, et cum Ascanio. Sed, dum fugunt, while they flee, creusa est amista, quod significat is lost, et mortua est. Requiesce in pace. Ehu, et fragoidea. Quid aliter videmus? Quid aliter videmus? Ascanius quid? Ascanius aures tepide? Cool. Quis intelligit? Nescio. Nescio significat non intelligo. Nescio. Ecce discipuli, hic in pictura est inscriptio quod dixit Federico Barocci tinctit anno millesimo quingentesimo duodecentesimo. Haec est pictura bella, non? Creusa rubrum, creusa westem rubrum gerit, and as viridem gerit, ruber, so we got red, viridis green, anchises, non multum gerit, anchises dormiebat. At Aeneas dixit, surge pater, necessa nobis exire. Alia rogata, gratias omnibus, licet nobis anglice dicere. You will speak in English now. You got any other questions about this crazy and very fun sort of exercise? I hope that you caught me making mistakes. You know that I'm human. Yes, I use the same word. A week? Oh, that's too big. Can I give you just one day? Okay. So every day they come in our school, they're required to stand when an adult enters the room. So they're up, and I say, Salvete discipuli, or whatever, Dominus tecum, and they respond. And then I'll say, Recitemus versum, and we have a verse for each month, and we'll recite our verse. I put it up here in Latin. I have the English as well, which they say in their other classes, but I've got it in Latin too. And you could do this for your own class, independent of what the rest of your school is doing. I just, mine tracks with my school. So we'll recite our verse, and I'll say, Oremus, we're going to pray, and most of the time I'm going to pray in Latin. And most of the time they may not understand all of that. But I want them to know that I can talk to God in Latin. He understands Latin. He created Latin. It can be used to his glory. This is not a subject beyond his purview. And sometimes they'll ask me what I prayed, and sometimes they'll tell me what I prayed, and sometimes just because of the needs of time or because of the needs of students that ask me to pray for a particular thing, I'll pray in English. I'm not against it. I mean, God's equal opportunity lender, right? He made all languages, and he hears them all. Then I'll usually let them sit down, unless I want them to sing. Sometimes I'm in the habit of getting them to sing something short, like a chant, you know, Gloria Patri, Filio, Spiritu Sancto, etc., something little. But then after those things, which everybody stands for all of those, they'll sit, and I might call on three students and say, Quinam est tempestas, what's the weather? And I have a little poster for them. So I want them to tell me about the weather. I want them to use it a little bit. Okay. And then we will go into review mode. Review mode is awful. Review mode is like the drop and give me 20. They have a little whiteboard, each of them, that they pick up when they come into class. And I'm going to ask them to do some really dull work. I'm going to say, declinate hoc pronomen or something, or decline this pronoun, or conjugate this verb in present, you know, passive, or whatever. And I'm going to review with them something that I want them to know. It might be very new material. Most of the time it is. But I have them on a kind of a rotation to review the old material, too. So we will review everything all the way back to the first declension, because I want it to be second nature. And then after that, I can either have them look at it, and we can discuss it and handle questions, or I can look at it, and I can give them a grade. I walk around with my whiteboard marker, and I just give them in Roman numerals what the grade is. And then I'll ask them, how many points have we got? And they'll tell me, and I'll be putting it in the grade book. And they aren't really very shy about it after the first 2 weeks, because they understand, because I train them, that the grade is of next to no importance. Grades are for the government and for your parents, I tell them. They have nothing to do with learning. And our business, you know, my business is to teach you to understand Latin, and your business is to understand Latin, and numbers don't really come into it unless I'm asking you to do math in Latin. This is a different ball of wax. We don't do that much. Sometimes I can take it for a grade. I can convert it to a grade really fast. So this takes about 15 minutes, everything I just described, 10 to 15 minutes, depending on how well behaved the class is. And then we go into the lesson for the day, whatever that is. Is it new grammar? Is it a reading? Are we going to do the Tractatio? Or the colloquium, I mean? I've used two words for it in the past. I've been advised, here's one of my mistakes, I've been advised the Tractatio is not the word to use for it. Colloquium is the word. Okay. Colloquium. Or we might be taking a test. Or we might be discussing history. We might be doing any amount of things. Do some exercises. That's the lesson for the day. And usually I teach right up to the clock. I probably should be a really good teacher, and I should summarize everything at the end, maybe, or I should pray with them at the end. But most of the time, I'm so excited about what I'm covering, and we're really moving on a roll, that the bell catches me by surprise. And so I have to let them go. And that's kind of my classroom liturgy. And that's much better than giving you a week, because the weeks vary from time to time. One further? What will I give for homework? Okay. I will require, in fact, they have homework so often that I think they don't recognize it as homework in a bad way. Okay. Like Lewis said, we don't perceive God because God's everywhere. You can't get away from him, and so you never notice that there's no absence. So every day in class, they might see the same homework on the board, and it's going to say, Memorate vocabula, and I'm going to give the page number, memorize this vocabulary. Memorate formas. They have these new forms to memorize. This is the page. Those are pretty routine. Beyond that, I might ask them to translate in advance, although I don't always find that very helpful. I wish that it was, but not everybody's a diligent student. So I get frustrated with the results. I will ask them to do very basic exercises, or just write verb synopses or conjugations, because sometimes I want it to gel in their own mind. It's not that we can't do it in class, but I want it to be their own and not something that we did in class. Sometimes I've given them, with the older students, composition projects in Latin. Nothing very ambitious. Nothing like memorizing and reciting Latin oratory, which is pretty cool. I have another teacher who's been working on that end of the spectrum lately. I'm just teaching grammar, a lot of grammar. And that's mostly the kind of homework I would give them. Parata ad inquisitionem, prepare for the quiz, you know. That's what I do. I put their lesson plans in Latin, too. That might be a bad thing. My administrators don't say anything about it, but neither do the parents. So, you know, I feel like it's the student's business, right? If the student's beyond sixth grade, it's time to, you know, it's your homework. Your parents shouldn't be checking it anyway. It's your job, right? So, and you know Latin, so there you go. You can ask me in class. Kids need to come. Any other questions? About this colloquium thing, I really enjoyed doing it with you. You guys are a great live audience. I did this at a college in November for the Alabama Classical Association. I was terrified. There's these doctors and professors of classics at universities, and they're all sitting around, and I show this to them, and they refuse to play. I thought, you know, I spend my life as a junior high teacher, I'm like a stand-up comic. This is one of the tools of teaching that they don't talk about here. And I thought to myself, wow, this is a dead audience, or I've really done something really stupid. But I think what it was is that they had a lot to lose, right? They're doctors. And if they open their mouth and make a mistake, they have a whole lot more to lose than me. I've just got a minor in classics, right? So I'm just I can't go any lower. All right, I think it's probably time. Maybe somebody's got to watch. Yeah, are we done? Okay. Thank you. You were wonderful. I enjoyed talking with you, and you can ask me questions or email me. Thanks. Well, I've got them.